Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful, Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of all created beings, wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafi anbiya'illah, and may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of His prophets, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu, and as well that of his family, companions, and all of those who have true religious loyalty with him. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then by the grace and blessings of Allah Ta'ala upon us, after having finished Salat al-Isha in congregation, from the bounties of Allah Ta'ala that we have been able to accomplish that, and then we sit to study two of the verses, two of the ayahs from the book of Allah Ta'ala this evening, insha'Allah Ta'ala, reading from the tafsir of the noble scholar, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, as part of our regular ongoing sessions on tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat. So our study this evening is ayahs number 9 and 10 in this sixth session of that series, that which is available here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal locally, the city of Pittsburgh, and online and broadcast on internet radio stations like our brothers at Mirath Radio, the Mirath English Language Radio. May Allah Ta'ala bless them and increase them in goodness. And as is available as well on our Spreaker channel and through our online presence there. We begin on this evening, preceding the fourth day of the month of Safar in the year 1437, with the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, which is found on the bottom of page 33 of the printed version of the tafsir. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينِ قُتَتَلُوا. If two parties of the believers fall into fighting, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, then bring about some kind of treaty or some arrangement between them. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, and if one party transgresses against the other, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, then fight against the one that is transgressing until it returns back to the affair of Allah, meaning to the obedience of Allah. فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ, and if it returns, meaning if that group of believers return back to obedience of Allah, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدَلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا, then bring about peace between them, make a treaty between them, or make islah here, a sulh. Here Allah adds what was not present in the first order, بِالْعَدَلِ, with precise justice. And then Allah adds, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقَسِطِينَ, verily Allah loves those who are precisely just and fair. And that's the ninth verse of Surah Al-Hujurat. We'll listen to the words of our dear Shaykh, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen. He said, أَطَائِفَتَانِ, the word طَائِفَتَانِ is a dual plural, what we would call in English a dual plural. You know, we have a singular, ta'ifa, and then we would have a dual plural, which is not the complete plural in Arabic. Ta'ifatani. And then we would have the plural of three or more, which would be what? Tawa'if. Tawa'if, right? You mean groups. So he says, طَائِفَتَانِ مُفْرَدُهَا طَائِفَ. The singular from طَائِفَتَانِ is طَائِفَ. وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَ. And the meaning of the word طَائِفَ is a group of people. جَمَاعَ. الْجَمَاعَةُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. وَقَوْلُهُ, and his statement, اِقْتَتَلُوا, they have fallen into fighting. جَمْعٌ. This is اِقْتَتَلُوا. It has the wow of جَمْعَ. For those of you studying Arabic, اِقْتَتَلُوا, not اِقْتَتَلَا. Not that the two of them have fought, but اقتتلوا, they all, as a group of three or more, have fought. So the Shaykh says, وَإِنَّمَا جُمِعَ, And it's only been mentioned as this plural, this larger plural that is used as a base rule for three or more. لِأَنَّ طَائِفَةَ Because a ta'ifa تَشْتَمِلُ عَلَىٰ أَفْرَادٍ كَثِيرٍ Because one group contains a number of individuals. فَلِذَلِكَ صَحَّ And thus it is correct أَنْ يَعُودَ الضَّمِيرُ عَلَىٰ مُثَنَّى It's allowed to use a plural that is originally for three or more people for it to be applicable to two when those two are groups of people. مُرَاعَات لِلْمَعْنَى Keeping in mind the meaning of those two things. In English they call those collective nouns. You guys remember your English grammar lessons? A collective noun is a word like team or group or board, right? It's a singular word that has a plural. You can say teams and you can say groups, but each one of them is a group itself, right? So those are called collective nouns. That's the idea here that's being used for the word ta'ifa. A ta'ifa is a group of people, a collective noun. وَإِلَّا لَكَانَ مُقْتَضَى اللُّغَةِ Had this not been the case, then what would be expected in the language, أَنْ يَقُولُ, is that it would be said, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْتَتَلَا And if two parties of the believers, اِقْتَتَلَا, the dual plural, that they fall into fighting, the two of them. لِيُطَابِقَ الضَّمِيرُ مَرْجِعَهُ So that the ضمير, the wow he means here, the wow al-jama'ah, or the alif in iqtatala, would be befitting in going back to what it's referring to. لَكِنَّهُ عَادَ إِلَيْهِ بِالْمَعْنَى However, in here, by way of meaning, not necessarily technical numbers, but here by meaning, it goes back to a group of people, so it is befitting to be used. And I would mention here that actually the Shaykh mentions it would be وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْتَتَلَا Here he's taking care of looking at mufrad versus muthanna versus jamma, singular versus dual plural versus the full plural. But here he hasn't given consideration to a tazkir wa ta'nith, and a ta'ifa is mu'annatha. So here it would be, if we're going to apply all of the original rules, we would say, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْتَتَلَتَا For those of you who remember our Arabic language and those verb conjugation charts, they know why I would say that. اِقْتَتَلَ تَا For ta'nith is being added there because the ta'ifa is feminine in its wording. It is a mu'annatha word. And that will come back later and you'll hear that the word ta'ifa being referred to as a feminine word because in Arabic all nouns must be either feminine or masculine. There is no neutral, there is no it. In the Arabic language, everything is either huwa or hiya. There is no neutral pronoun. The Shaykh says, وَالِاخْتِتَالُ بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَهُ أَسْبَابٌ مُتَعَدِّدًا Fighting that could take place between believers would have many possible meanings. وَالشَّيْطَانُ قَدْ يَئِسَ أَنْ يُعْبَدَ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ The Shaytan has given up hopes of being worshipped in the Arabian Peninsula. وَلَكِنُّهُ رَضِيَ فِي التَّحْرِيشِ بَيْنَهُمْ However, he has remained pleased that he is someone who would cause disputes amongst them. He would cause them to fight each other. And that is muqtabas, that's borrowed language from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he didn't say it was a hadith, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith which is collected by Imam Muslim, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ أَيِّسَ أَنْ يَعْبُدَهُ الْمُصَلُّونَ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ That the shaytan has given up hopes that the people who pray in the Arabian Peninsula would worship him. وَلَكِنْ فِي التَّحْرِيشِ بَيْنَهُمْ Like that. وَلَكِنْ فِي التَّحْرِيشِ بَيْنَهُمْ However, يعني he is busy trying to sow the seeds of discord between them. يُحَرِّشُ بَيْنَهُمْ He tries to create discord between them, حَتَّى يَكُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ يَقْتُلُ بَعْضًا So that some of them would try to kill others. فَإِذَا حَصَلَ الْإِقْتِتَالُ If fighting takes place, فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْآخَرِينَ What is an obligation on the other believers? الصُّلْحُ بَيْنَهُمَا That they try to bring about a peace treaty between the two fighting parties. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ And this is why Allah Ta'ala has said, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا Bring about a treaty between them. أَيْ إِسْعَوْا إِلَى السُّلْحِ بِكُلِّ وَسِيلَةٍ Try your best to bring about a treaty, a peace agreement or arrangement with every possible way. حَتَّى وَلَوْ كَانَ بِبَذَلِ الْمَالِ Even if that meant that you spend money to bring about some peace between them. وَالتَّنَازُلِ عَنِ الْحَقِّ لِأَحَدِهِمَا عَنِ الْآخَرِ And that one of them would give up part of their rights over the others. One of them would actually give up compromise. You compromise your right and you give it up for the sake of the treaty. The Shaykh is going to mention here, لِأَنَّ الصُّلْحَ لَبُدَّ فِيهِ Because a treaty, you know, an agreement of peace between two people, a treaty, لَبُدَّ فِيهِ مِنْ أَنْ يَتَنَازَلَ أَحَدُ الطَّرَفَيْنِ عَمَّا يُرِيدُ It is a must that one of the two groups give up something that they want. مِنْ كَمَالِ حَقِّهِ From his full, complete rights that he has in the case, or that he claims in that case. وَإِلَّا لَمَا تَمَّ صُلْحٍ Without this, then there would be no such thing as a peace treaty. There would be no such thing as a peace agreement between any two fighting parties. Someone has to give up something. وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى And thus when Allah, the Most High, has said, وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٍ In another verse, that sulh, any peace treaties and agreements, they are khayr, they are good. Meaning there is something that you have to give up. And you know our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave up many of the rights of the believers in the sulh of, what's it called? Hudaybiyah. Right? When he came and met the disbelievers at the place called Hudaybiyah, they prevented him from coming in to make Umrah. They prevented him, and so he entered into an agreement with them, which was, in terms of the conditions of the agreement, a lopsided one in favor of the polytheist pagans of Mecca. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into that agreement, and he had his wisdom, and he had his political agenda that was in favor of the believers in the long run, as was seen afterwards when he returned to Mecca and conquered Mecca without even a battle, without a clash. And Allah Ta'ala has said, when he has said, وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ And peace treaties are good, وَقَالَ وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحُ And greediness, or a love for what someone feels he deserves, right, is something that is brought to the people's souls. It's something that continues to come to people's souls. Like, get yours. Take care of yourself. Make sure you get yours. Right? The person looks out for number one and thinks he should always get his right in full. That's why Allah Ta'ala reminds us that in some situations, the sulh is khayr, that you give up your rights in order to bring about peace between yourself and someone else that you disagree with. لِأَنَّ كُلَّ إِنسَانٍ Because every person, يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُتِمَّ قَوْلَهُ He wants his statement to be the final one. He wants his statement to be complete, and the final statement, that is the one that is accepted by everyone. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ التَّنَازُلِ So then there must be the idea of compromise, that some people in disagreements give up their rights in order to bring about peace. فَإِذَا أَصْلَحْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا And if we accomplished bringing about rectification between them, ثُمَّ حَصَلَ بَغْيٌ And then some transgression took place again, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Then Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى And if one of them transgresses against the other, meaning after the agreement has been put into place, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي الآن Now we're ordered to fight. Fight the one that transgresses. يعني لو فرض Put a hypothetical situation out there. أَنَّهُ بَعْدَ الصُّلْحِ That after a peace treaty, عَادَتْ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ One of the two groups that were fighting went back to قَاتِلُ الْأُخْرَى To fighting the other one again. فَهُنَا لَا صُلْحِ Here there's no more peace treaty. There's no more peace arrangement that can be accomplished. Because why? A peace treaty was already established and they didn't honor it. So now there is qital. Now there is fighting. بَلْ نُقَاتِلُ الَّتِي تَبْغِي. Instead, we fight against the one that transgresses. حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Until it returns back to the affair of Allah, meaning until it repents, until that group of people repent and return back to the obedience of Allah. أَيْ تَرْجِعَ إِلَيْهِ. That they return back to the affair of Allah. وَأَمْرُ اللَّهِ يَعْنِي دِينَهُ وَشَرْعَهُ. The affair of Allah means His religion and His legislation. فَانْظُرْ فِي أَوَّلِ الْأَمْرِ الْإِصْلَاحِ. Look at the first step that was required in this kind of situation. Al-Islah, rectification, peace treaty or peace agreement. فَإِذَا تَمَّ الصُّلْحُ. If a peace agreement was reached, وَبَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. And then some of them or one group transgressed against the other, وَجَبَ أَن نُسَاعِدَ الْمَبْغِيَّ عَلَيْهَا. It is obligatory now that we aid the one that is being transgressed upon. فَنُقَاتِلُ مَعَهَا. So we fight alongside of the oppressed or the transgressed against. فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ. And if they flee, فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبُ الْكَفْءُ عَنْ قِتَالِهِمْ. Then it is required that we stop fighting. That we stop fighting once they have fled. Meaning they are transgressive, they are harming people, and we fight them. And here we talk about the fighting. What do we mean? Military strategy for the army and the police force of the established Muslim government. It doesn't mean one masjid battling another masjid under the rule of non-Muslims, right? And people killing each other in a non-Muslim society, marring the image of Islam and all of that. No, it means what? This is the strategy for the Muslim leader as it relates to employing his army or his police force or whatever, navy, air force, all of that, whatever he has under his control, using them, what, to accomplish these goals here. Not individual choices that I saw two brothers falling into a disagreement, so now I'm going to try to kill one of them because he has transgressed and fought against his brother. And I have taken the position of being like, what, the Muslim government or the Muslim ruler or the judge in a court case and so on. So these things, they have their procedures, and it is not a chaotic application to be applied by individuals or militias and the likes. فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ. And so if they flee, فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبُ الْكَفُّ عَنْ قِتَالِهِمْ. Then we have to stop fighting them. وَلَا يَجُوزُ أَن نُجْهِزَ عَلَى جَرِيحٍ. It's not permissible to approach in battle someone who has been wounded and is down. وَلَا أَن نَتَّبِعَ مُدْبِرًا. Nor if someone flees and he's running away. He's not confronting now. He's given up and he's run away. It's not permissible for us to chase him down. Because the goal here is to stop the fighting. Not to get revenge for one party over the other. But rather, to defend the one that's being oppressed. So if there's no more attack and no more transgression going on, mission accomplished. وَلَا أَن نَسْلَبَ مَالًا. And nor do we take money. And the Shaykh actually said, نَغْنَمَ مَالًا. Take money from them as booty, as spoils of war. وَلَا أَن نَسْبِيَ ذُرِّيَّ. Nor do we take their children as captives and so on. All of these things which are strategies that are for jihad, the normal institution of jihad. None of that is allowed in this case of what? Repelling the oppression or transgression of one party of believers against another. لِأَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Because these people, they are believers. فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدَلِ وَأَقْصِطُ. And if they flee, then make peace between them بِالْعَدَلِ, with precise justice. وَأَقْصِطُ, and be just. After being told to make islah between them بِالْعَدَلِ, then Allah emphasizes and confirms that by ordering us وَأَقْصِطُ, and be fair, and be just and balanced. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقَصِطِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who are perfectly just or precisely and accurately just. أي فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. And this means if they flee back to the order of Allah, meaning obedience to Allah, بَعْدَ أَنْ قَاتَلْنَاهَا, after we have engaged them in battle. وَرَجَعَتْ وَوَضَعَتَ الْحَرْبِ, and they have retreated and abandoned their fighting. وَجَبَ أَنْ نُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدَلِ, now it is obligatory on us to bring about peace between them. بِالْعَدَلِ, with justice. Now here with justice, we're going to bring the wrongdoers to justice and make them pay. That's after the fighting is over. The sulh here is not asking the people who are being oppressed to give up some right, but rather now getting their rights for them that were taken at the time of the transgression, as the Shaykh explains here. وَهَذَا غَيْرُ الْإِصْلَاحِ الْأَوَّلِ, this is not the same islah that happened first, where some people have to, or some people should, what, give up their rights, compromise, come to the negotiation table. الإصلاح الأول لوقف القتال, the first إصلاح was in order to prevent or stop the fighting. وهذا الإصلاح, this إصلاح here, this rectification or this treaty, بالتقدير, this is to settle the accounts now with justice. فننظر ماذا تلف على كل طائفة, so we look as a judgment now. It becomes محكمة, it becomes an issue of a court case where it's studied by the court system now. The battle is over, so the military moves out, and who comes in now? The Islamic court system, the judges, the assessments come in, what damage has been done to each side. So what has been lost of each from each group? ثُمَّ نُسَوِّي بَيْنَهُمَا, then we bring about a just final determination between them, meaning we settle the account between them. فَمَثَلًا, here's an example. إِذَا كَانَتْ إِحْدَى طَائِفَتَيْنِ أَتْلَفَتْ عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, one of the two groups caused the loss upon the other group. مَا قِيمَتُهُ مِلْيُونَ رِيَالٍ, the loss of property or damages that equaled 1,000,000 riyals. And here the rial is an arbitrary unit of money. You can say $1,000,000. Same concept will be understood. وَثَانِيَةُ أَتْلَفَتْ عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, and the other party as well caused damages to the first one. مَا قِيمَتُهُ مِلْيُونَ رِيَالٍ, as well, $1,000,000 of damage, or 1,000,000 riyals of damage. Now the damage caused on both sides is what? It's equal. فَحِينَئِذٍ تُعَادِلُ الطَائِفَتَيْنِ, so in this case, both parties are equal in the damage that they have encountered. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا, in another situation, if one of them, أَتْلَفَتْ عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, caused damage to the other one, مَا قِيمَتُهُ 800,000 riyal, 800,000 riyals worth of damage. وَالْأُخْرَى, and the second party, أَتْلَفَتْ مَا قِيمَتُهُ مِلْيُونَ, and the second party caused damages that are valued at 1,000,000. فَالْفَرْقُ 100,000, or 100,000 riyalin, the difference then is 200,000 riyals of damage. 1,000,000 here and 800,000 there. One has caused 200,000 riyals or dollars, whatever the unit is, doesn't matter, more damage. So therefore, they are required to pay for that as a restoration. تُحَمَّلُهَا, then they are made to bear the burden of restoring that damaged property. عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, paying the other group. أَلَّتِي أَتْلَفَتْ مَا قِيمَتُهُ مِلْيُونَ, the group that has to pay is the one that caused 1,000,000 riyals or dollars of damage. They pay 200,000 to the other group that caused 800,000 dollars, pounds, riyals of damage. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ, and this is why Allah has said, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدَلِ, then bring about peace between them with justice. بِالْعَدَلِ, bring about justice between them then. وَأَقْصِطُوا, and be fair. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ, verily Allah loves those who are fair. أَيُحِبُّ الْعَادِلِينَ, He loves those who are balanced and fair. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ, and it has been authentically established from the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them all peace, أَنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ عَلَىٰ مَنَابِرَ مِن نُورٍ, that those who discharge justice, the muqsitin, the people of qist, those who are just equitable, fair, precisely fair, they will be upon minbars, upon high stations of light. An yamin illahi azza wa jal, on the right side of Allah, the mighty and majestic. Alladhina ya'diluna fi ahlihim, and he described them in the hadith as those who deal justly as it relates to their families. Wa ma walu, and everything that they have been made responsible for, everything they have a wilaya over, everything they are walis for, right? Everything that they have been made responsible for. If it's an orphan, an orphan. If it's a woman who needs a stand-in wali for a marriage, then it's her. If it is your own children and so on, everything that you have been made responsible for, your ra'iyya, your flock. Min umur al-muslimin, of all the affairs of Muslims that you have been put in charge of. Now here it's important to mention the hadith in Sahih Muslim has an additional wording, right? Alladhina ya'diluna fi hukmihim, those who are fair in their verdicts. Wa fi ahlihim, and in their families. Wa ma walu, and everything that they have been made responsible for. Also additionally in the hadith of Sahih Muslim is the phrase, after mentioning on the right side of Allah Azza wa Jal, wa kilta yadayhi yameen, both of his hands are right hands. Now I want a good solid answer for this question. How do we understand both of Allah's hands are right hands? Who can give me a firm answer on this? Evaluate my question. What do you think of my question? Ah, there it is. Yeah, I want specific details. I want to go further than the text. How do we understand Allah has two right hands? Tell me. Su'al. As-su'al bid'ah. That question is an innovation. And you stop it right there before you even begin to try to answer it. You said that question is not permissible. Why? Because it's based on philosophy. You have no view of Allah that you've seen Him. So as to relate it to that, Allah Ta'ala as it relates to you is ghaib. You only understand Him from the reports that have come to you. So you have here isbat bila kayf. I affirm it and I don't ask about how. I don't ask specifically how does that work. I say Allah has two right hands. And I stop. And I'm free of blame. And I'm free of philosophy. And I'm free of contradiction. And intellectualizing things about the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. The speech about Allah is difficult. It's sa'ab. Person shouldn't be speaking about Allah except with what is of pure benefit. Barakallahu feekum. ثُمَّ قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and then Allah said in this 10th verse, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, the believers are but brothers. هَذَا كَتَعْلِيلِ بِقَوْلِهِ فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا, this is like an explanation for when Allah said, then bring about peace between them. Meaning because they're brothers. يعني إنما أوجب الله علينا الإصلاح, it is only the case that Allah has merely placed upon us the obligation of bringing about peace بين طائفتين المقتتلتين, between the two battling factions. لأن المؤمنين إخوة, because the believers are brothers. الطائفتان المقتتلتان هما أخوان, the two parties that are fighting, they are brothers, meaning brothers to each other. وَنَحْنُ أَيْضًا إِخْوَةٌ لَهُمْ حَتَّى مَعَ الْقِتَالِ, we are also brothers to them, even along with the battle that has taken place. They are still believers, and so the Islamic Brotherhood still encompasses them and us. فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ, and if a person were to say, أَلَيْسَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ قَالَ, isn't it the case that the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, had said, سِبَابُ الْمُسْلِمِ فُسُوقُ وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ, that insulting a believer is an act of disobedience, and fighting him is an act of kufr. Fighting him is an act of disbelief. You may assume the meaning of kufr would be in this hadith. The hadith was collected by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. And so the Shaykh says, part of the question here is, well, kafiru laysa akhan lil-mu'min. And so a disbeliever is not a brother to a believer. So how is it that all the believers are brothers when they are fighting, and the one who fights a believer is a kafir, or a person who has committed kufr? فالجواب, then the answer, أن يقال, it is to be said, إن الكفر الذي ذكره النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the kufr that has been mentioned by the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, هو كفر دون كفر. It is a lesser kind of kufr. Kufr less than kufr. Disbelief less than apostasy, you could say. Or you could say here, kufr less than apostasy. Kufr less than disbelief. The kufr that is called, according to the scholar's terminology, kufr asghar, it is lesser kufr. It means it's a major sin. It is a major flaw with a servant that he has fallen into something like that. However, it doesn't expel him from the religion of al-Islam. However, the action can be called kufr. And the meaning of it being kufr is kufr an-ni'am. It is to be ungrateful to Allah. That's another angle for the word kufr and kafir. The person can be an ingrate, and he's called a kafir because of his ingratitude. And that's a kufr, of course, of a lesser status than a kafir who rejects Allah, who disbelieves in Allah and denounces Allah. That's a kafir of a higher degree, or someone who has committed an action that nullifies his Islam. Therefore, he is a kafir outside of the religion. And a kafir, kufra ni'mah, is an ingrate to Allah Ta'ala. He is not using the blessings that Allah Ta'ala has provided him with to obey Allah. Rather, he is being ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala. وَإِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Right? We have guided mankind to the correct path. So he's either going to be shakir, he's either going to be grateful, or he's going to be kafur. He's going to be a person of kufr, meaning an ingrate. So here we have, in this verse in Surah Al-Insan, the contrast being made between gratitude and kufr. That means gratitude is, you know, what is obligatory on the servant. And kufr here is the lack of proper gratitude to Allah. It's the lesser kind of kufr, not disbelief that takes one outside of Islam. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. فَلَيْسَ كُلُّ مَا أَطْرَقَ الشَّرْعُ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ كُفْرٌ يَكُونُ كُفْرًا. This wording here needs a little bit of an explanation. It's not the case that everything that has come in the texts of legislation, that it is called kufr, that it's actually kufr. And what he means here is, everything that has been called kufr is not necessarily kufr akbar, not necessarily kufr, major kufr that takes you out of Islam. But we would say, istidrakan here, everything that is in the text of the shar' as kufr is kufr. But it doesn't mean that it's kufr akbar that takes you outside of Islam. And that's what he means here. فَهُنَا, in this case, صَرَّحَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, Allah has explicitly mentioned, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the mighty and majestic, بِأَنَّ هَاتَيْنِ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ, that those two groups, الْمُقْتَتِلَتَيْنِ, that have been fighting, إِخْوَةٌ لَنَا, they are brothers to us, مَعَ أَنَّ قِتَالَ الْمُؤْمِنِ كُفْرٌ, along with the idea that fighting a believer is a form of kufr. Right, a form of kufr that can be misunderstood to be disbelief. Rather, it means ingratitude. فَيُقَالْ, so it said, هَذَا كُفْرٌ دُونَ كُفْرٍ, this is a level of kufr that is less than apostasy or disbelief. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, and the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, اثنتاني فِي النَّاسِ هُمَا بِهِمْ كُفْرٌ, there are two things that the people have or that they do that are kufr as it relates to them. And in the text it says bihima, which is incorrect, both as a typographical error and from the recording, from the original recording. The sheikh said bihim and not bihima. So make a note about that alif there, that is a typographical error. Ithnatani finnasi huma bihim kufr. There are two things that the people have that they are disbelief, that they are kufr. Maybe I shouldn't use the word disbelief, but they are kufr. What are they? At-ta'anu fi nasab, that is insulting lineage. Speaking against a person, insulting him because of his lineage. وَالنِّيَاحَةُ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ and wailing over the dead. Wailing over someone's dead. These are things from Jahiliyyah that remain in the Ummah and they are kufr. And that hadith was collected by Al-Imam Muslimun in his authentic Sahih collection. وَمَعْلُومٌ and it's well known أَنَّ الطَّاعِنَ فِي النَّسَبِ that someone who insults another about his lineage وَالنَّافِحَ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ and the one who cries and wails over the dead لَا يَكْفُرُ كُفْرًا أَكْبَرٌ he is not a disbeliever who has left the religion with apostasy or disbelief or major disbelief. فَدَلَّ ذَلِكَ and that is something that shows عَلَى أَنَّ الْكُفْرَ فِي شَرِيعَةِ اللَّهِ that the word kufr used in the legislative texts or in the legislation of Allah في الكتاب وفي السنة in the book and in the sunnah كفراني it is of two types. There are two types of kufr. كفر مخرج عن الملة there is kufr that is apostasy that takes someone outside of the religion وكفر لا يخرج عن الملة and then there is a kind of kufr that does not take a person outside of the religion. إنما المؤمنون إخوة the believers are but brothers فأصلحوا بين أخويكم so bring about peace between your brothers وفي هذا من الحمل على العطف على هاتين طائفتين المقتصدتين ما هو ظاهر in this verse is leading the believers into sympathizing with and being easy in terms of how they rectify the matter between these two differing parties, that which is obvious and recognizable. في قوله إخوة Allah has described them as brothers. فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ So then bring about peace between your brothers. كَمَا أَنَّكَ تُصْلِحُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكَ الْأَشِقَّاءِ مِنَ النَّسَبِ Like how you would come between your own two blood brothers in your family from your father and mother. أَشِقَّاءِ Right, full blood brothers, and you would come between them, and you would bring about peace between them when they fight. فَأَصْلِحْ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ Then likewise, come between your brothers in iman, in faith, when they fall out. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ And be pious to Allah, or be conscious of Allah, have taqwa of Allah, in hopes that you would attain mercy. يعني, and this means, اتقوا الله تعالى. Fear Allah. Observe your duty to Allah, the Most High. بأن تفعلوا ما أمركم به. That you uphold what He has ordered you to do. وتتركوا ما نهاكم عنه. And abandon what He has forbidden you from. لأنكم إذا قمتم بهذا. Because if you were to accomplish this, فقد اتخذتم وقاية مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ Then you would have taken a shield, something to shield yourself from the punishment of Allah. وَهَذِهِ هِيَ التَّقْوَى And this is the meaning of the word taqwa. وَعَلَى هَذَا And based on this, كُلَّمَا سَمِعْتَ كَلِمَةَ تَقْوَى Every time you hear the word taqwa فِي الْقُرْآنِ In the book of Allah, the Qur'an, فَالْمَعْنَى The meaning is, أَنَّهَا اتِّخَاذُ الْوِقَايَةِ It is to take a shield, to shield yourself. مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ From the punishment of Allah, بِفِعْلِ أَوَامِرِهِ With what? What is the shield exactly? It is the performance of, or the upholding of His obligations, or the obligations He has placed upon you. وَاجْتِنَابِ نَوَاهِهِ And also through refraining from what you have been forbidden from. Refraining from the matters that he has forbidden. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ And the verse ends with this statement, in hopes that you would attain mercy. أَيْ لِيَرْحَمَكُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ So that Allah would have mercy upon you, the mighty and majestic, إِذَا اتَّقَيْتُمُوهُ If you were to be conscious of him and have taqwa of him. And at this point, the tafsir of our shaykh ends for these two verses. So we thank Allah Ta'ala for the benefit that we have gained from his tafsir. We ask Allah to have mercy upon him and to raise his level and to allow us to benefit from his knowledge. The question is, what exactly or how far does this ayah apply? Is it to everyday groups like families, tribes or something? Or does it go as far as on a governmental level to neighboring countries fighting with each other? The answer is, however, it can be applied. Any ta'ifa, the word ta'ifa doesn't have a limit of 100 or 1,000 or something. A ta'ifa is a group of people. So a dawla can be a ta'ifa. If there were two Muslim countries fighting each other over, let's say, some border or some property or something like that, then what would be wajib on the neighboring countries is that they come together to set up, you know, negotiations between the leaders of those two countries so that they would stop fighting. This does not at all relate to when disbelieving Houthis, who are disbelievers by their belief, Rafidah, for example, people who believe that their imams know the unseen and things like this, this does not connect to them invading the country of Muslims. Rather, that is what? Jihadun fi sabilillah. That is jihad, fighting to repel disbelief from the lands of Tawheed. Much different than two groups of believers. So we're not talking about the invasion of a people with an aqidah that is disbelief, where now it's jihad, so that Allah alone is worshipped. The battle there is what? It's Tawheed versus Shirk. Not that kind of battle. The battle is what? The border here we're unhappy with how much you have on our side. We want to push you back a little bit. Border wars and things like that. Not a battle over Tawheed and Shirk, Iman and Kufr and these kinds of things. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. هذا والله أعلم وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.